This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Coffee time.
We need to get you one of those two-sided glasses.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on
BamaCentral.com. We got to get us a sponsor and I just get a Red Bull cooler.
Yes.
Like all the streamers have.
A double-sided clear glass. You can pour them both your flavors into each side with the two straws.
Oh, maybe I get one of those, like, one of those helmets. I put one on either side.
Yes. Yes, welcome in. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Ready for a great Thursday, June 19th. Happy Juneteenth to everybody out there. I don't care if you don't think it's a holiday. It's a pretty big day, but we're not going to spend any time on it. Other than that, happy Juneteenth. Happy day. Welcome in. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, just off McFarland Boulevard. You are spending your time with us, and we appreciate that on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. We appreciate everybody who's joined us on their favorite podcast platform. You can call the show at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to leave us a voicemail, we've had a couple voicemails from Robert this week, and we appreciate that. And we appreciate you guys jumping in and joining us right there on the comments section. Everett's leaving us comments on the Facebook machine. We appreciate him. Absolutely. You can leave it at JoeGaither6. You can leave them at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine or at Bama Central. There will be no Katie Windham today. We want to get that right off the bat. Katie Windham's actually going to be traveling this weekend, so she's not going to join us tomorrow either. Will Miller will join us tomorrow, so we'll get Will Miller and find out a lot of inside baseball items.
Been active in the transfer portal.
Absolutely. We'll find out a lot about that with Will Miller and more. Just talking off-season stuff tomorrow. Today, we're going to talk about RevShare. We're going to talk about Jetamala, his performance at the Elite 11 camp. This is where Keelan Russell started to take his jump last season in the recruiting rankings. And after two nights, it looks like Jetamala might be poised to take a little jump in the recruiting rankings. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. The Alabama basketball SEC schedule was released yesterday and more. About 8:40, we'll be joined by the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. He's going to be talking about the next New Era Wrestling show, July 12th in Jasper, Alabama. We cannot wait for that. He had a really, really brutal match in his past event, defeating Dawson Kimbrell and then getting attacked afterwards. So we're going to talk about that and find out if he's ready for the masked man who revealed himself after attacking him again. So we're excited to catch up with the Alpha Alexander Lincoln here by 40. But before we do any of that, we are, of course, our partner Mason Woods, looking good in the Oakland A's hat. Follow him at MAWoods_. He's busy because it is right in the heart of recruiting season, and he's all over recruiting for Bama Central, for Alabama, for Missouri Tigers on SI, for Vanderbilt Commodores on SI, and Boston College on SI. So he's still keeping up with our boy Bill O'Brien.
B.O.B.'s cooking.
Having a good day? How are you, Mason?
I mean, I got another commitment yesterday at Boston College. You know, maybe somebody... someone that most people probably not familiar with, a bit of an underrated prospect, you know, not really big up on the major recruiting outlets, but a good athlete prospect, 6'4", 220, you know, I think he'll be a solid player. But I'm doing good this morning, you know, right before we started the show. I don't really know if you want to say this is bad news. It's more of a, I'm happy for this player that, you know, he is getting to do this now. CJ Mosley, as many of you are well, you know, probably very familiar with, one of the best Alabama linebackers that has ever come through this program, is officially retiring from the NFL today. He is, you know, in my opinion, I think basically since he's been in the league, has been one of the best linebackers. Probably has probably been a top 8 to 10 guy every year he's been in the NFL, if not higher. You know, I don't know. A five-time second team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, All-Rookie team in 2014. So, you know, he doesn't have like the most impressive list of accolades, but I think that, you know, his career speaks for itself. Very, very good player. I'm happy to see him, you know, taking his next step in retirement here. I think you were starting to see the age a little bit the last season or two. And, you know, I hate when players stick around too long. I'm always glad to see them get out a little earlier.
10 years in the NFL, five with the Jets, five with the Ravens. I've got him listed here. 132 games. Well, 133 games. Started in 132. Let's go tackles first. Tackles, total tackles. 1,083 tackles in 10 years, 687 solo tackles. He got in and assisted on 396, 55 tackles behind the line of scrimmage for a loss. I know we got sacks right there. 12 total sacks over the course of his career. Not as much of a blitzer guy. 12 total interceptions with 2 interception touchdowns. He forced how many fumbles? 10 fumbles. He recovered 9 fumbles and scored another touchdown on a fumble recovery. So 3 defensive touchdowns over 10 years. Really, really great career, honestly. You cash checks for 10 years. Great job. I mean, seriously. I'm with you. Not a sad day for C.J. Mosley. A congratulatory day for C.J. Mosley as he retires from the NFL and moves into his next stage of life. You're absolutely right. He did kind of had a small not as good of a season last year. I don't want to be like too condemning. Yeah,
he was still very, very sorry. He was still, like I said, probably
only played in 4 games last year. Got hurt. Yeah. I mean, that kind of contributes a lot to it. Sure. The year prior, though. Started all 17 games and you know,
100 tackle season,
152 total tackles combined, 81 solos, got in on 71. So, like, still a bad man up until the end, retiring at the age of, looks like, 32, 33. And as you said, what, 5-time Pro Bowler?
Love C.J. Mosley.
Great player. Man.
Loved watching him play at Alabama. Back-to-back national champion. Those are some really, really good, memorable teams.
Absolutely. So congratulations, C.J. Mosley, on a great, great NFL career. I hope that your body isn't too bad off as you go into retirement.
I hope that you're getting out early enough to where, you know, you're going to be feeling all right for a while.
Aches and pains, sure, that natural, but...
Yeah, we're all... The other things, the head issues and everything like that, you know, hopefully none of those things will really affect him too bad.
Absolutely.
I think we're seeing players more and more now not respect their bodies a little more.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing guys who, if they are at that tail end of their career, I feel like we're seeing less guys try to stretch it out for that last little bit. Obviously, you had Tom Brady do it, but he was a bit of a special case.
Oh, shoot. It's his birthday. So he's 33 today.
Good on him. Go out on your birthday. That's a good way to do it. I'm sure he's having a big party and everything with all his friends and family. That's awesome. But yeah, it seems like, you know, now I think players have gotten a better understanding that, like, it's not really worth a bad couple last years if you're already on the tail end. You know, it's easier to just get out and save your body some.
It's a Pro Football Reference. I didn't realize this. Oh, it's at the very bottom. Is frequently asked questions. How old is he? When was he born? June 19th, 1992. Happy birthday, sir.
They have any really weird nicknames for him on
how
there?
How tall is he? How much does he weigh? How many games does he play? No nicknames.
Lame.
Sorry.
Every now and then they've got a really goofy one for some, you know, for whatever player it is.
Yeah, so congratulations, C.J. Mosley. And sorry, Jets, you're going to be bad again this year.
Yeah, what's new?
Aaron, look.
Yeah, Justin Fields. I can't even say that.
Don't really do that to me. don't. You'll send me off the edge right here at 8:15 in the morning. Don't do that to me.
It's not going to look good. Who's, see Garrett Wilson going out on the Twitter machine yesterday. I don't remember.
Do they have any other quarterbacks?
Jets,
our lads. They've got to have somebody other than him. It's Tyrod Taylor and Adrian Martinez and Brady Cook.
The answer is no. The answer is not really. Yeah, I'd probably put Tyrod Taylor out there.
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't
put at the ripe age of, what, 36
now? I wouldn't
now?
Put any of those guys out there. I'd say Brady Cook, go die for the Jets.
It's going to be a tough year in New York for probably both teams. I know that I've seen, you know, I think the Cowboys are, the Giants are just pushing out propaganda to make people believe that Jackson Dart's going to be good.
Oh, Theo's believing it on Mondays.
I hate that for him because I don't think it's going to happen.
Nom, 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 nom. He is.
I saw that report this week of he's fitting right in with everybody. Okay.
Hey, it is important to fit right in with your teammates. We watched a little clip yesterday after the show of AJ McCarron and on his show. What is it called? The Dynasty, the Drive.
That sounds right. Let me see if I can get it pulled
up. Yeah, thank you. I'll describe it as you do that. AJ McCarron joining Chris Stewart and Trent Richardson on a podcast project, and really, it's got some great stuff in it. And those three guys are awesome, in my opinion.
The Dynasty.
There we go. The Dynasty. And yesterday, this leads us right into, sorry, Jackson Dart. I don't know if you're doing this. Maybe he is. We'll give him credit. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. AJ McCarron's talking about what you need to do off the field to you know, the Coach Saban. Who's won the team?
I think these are probably things Jackson Dart does well. I think on the field is maybe his bigger issues.
Okay. All right. So AJ McCarron basically is like, well, you got to play well, of course. You have to play well, but he's... AJ really emphasized the need for the quarterbacks to relate to their teammates. And AJ McCarron rightfully pointed out the racial differences between most of the quarterbacks that have come through Alabama and most of the rest of the team over the last 10, 15, 20 years that's played in Alabama. And just right out in the open is like, you know, as a white quarterback, I had to connect with my black teammates and had to make sure that my black teammates knew that I was in with them and basically, you know, tried to relate to some of the struggles that they had in their lives that I didn't have and don't know in my life. And I just thought that was a really interesting look. He's like, obviously you got to play well, but when you are playing poorly, your teammates got to know that where your heart is, got to know that you're not just, you know, out there, I don't want to say using them. That's not really what he said, but just in it together is kind of what he said. He talked about growing up in Mobile and being exposed to a lot of different cultures that you know, and that helped him grow into that role and be ready. He said, you got to have a little swag, man. You got to have a little swag. And spin that forward into 2025. He gave a big old stamp of approval for Ty Simpson. He said, Ty's got that, man. He's got all the dances, all the handshakes, and he knows his teammates really well. We saw Ty take his teammates hunting, and that was a mixed group of guys, we'll just say. I mean, Will Conformby was there, but so was Tim Keenan. He had a mixed group of fellas. I mean, I couldn't see them, any of them, because they're all wearing camo, just a bunch of floating faces. That joke is for my girlfriend who hates that joke. But he gave the stamp of approval to Ty Simpson saying, yeah, he's got that. He's in with the group. I mean, he's from Tennessee. So he knows the South pretty well. What'd you make of AJ McCarron's comments first off and just how it relates to Ty Simpson?
I think he's exactly right. AJ McCarron, you know, I think that perspective you have to, you know, you can kind of hear it in the clip. He's mincing his words a little bit, trying to be careful with the way he's saying it so as not to upset anybody. But like, he is exactly right. If you know, a football team is a melting pot of personalities, a melting pot of backgrounds, you know, whatever beliefs, anything. Like, all of these people come from so many different walks of life, many of them very different than a lot of your quarterbacks that have been here at Alabama, who, you know, I don't think many of the quarterbacks at Alabama have been coming from the hardest backgrounds, we'll say. You know, some of these other guys have. You have to be able to connect with those kinds of guys.
At least in our experience. In our 15, 20 years. Right.
Yeah. There's other guys that I'm not aware of. But, you know, the ones that I know, many of them were, you know, from pretty good schools, really, you know, pretty prominent programs and so on and so forth. That's super important to be able to lead a team is that you can connect with your teammates, and you have to be able to do that on a personal level. It has to go beyond just, oh, we have a connection on the field, I can throw you a ball well, because that only gets you so far. You know, when one person makes a mistake, you know, you have to have that that leeway with your teammates for them to be like, it's all right, I know he's trying, I know his heart, I know what he wants to do. And that is just super, super important. He is exactly right. I don't know that I buy that Ty Simpson has it.
All right.
He very well might. I've never met Ty Simpson, never really seen him interact that much. The hunting thing is cool. He, you know, took a lot of the linemen hunting. not a lot of wide receivers or running backs or defensive backs in that group.
That's true.
Or
linebackers. That's fair.
You know, I don't know. Ty comes from a
father's coach.
pretty wealthy school is in Tennessee, as I understand. I don't know. I think in the clip, AJ McCarron compares himself to Greg McElroy, who, you know, maybe did not come from the same place that AJ McCarron did in Mobile, Alabama.
I don't know if that was personal or not.
Where it is a much more even split of black and white people in Mobile than it probably was in Texas, where Greg grew up. I think Ty Simpson maybe is in more of the Greg McElroy camp.
But I don't know if that's fair.
If it's fair either. I'm just saying that is how it is.
Sure. Keep going.
Just pointing out that is probably the case here. I don't know that has any effect on whether or not they are able to interact with their teammates and connect with them. From an outsider perspective, it did always seem like AJ was able to connect with his teammates a little better than Greg did. But again, I watched Greg when I was 10, 11 years old, so I don't really know.
22-3 speaks for itself. Was it 23-3 for Greg?
Something, yeah.
Come on.
Great teams.
National champion, sure. went 10-3 the next year.
Not so very prolific offenses.
Was it 14? Okay, so it would have been 24-3.
Okay,
14-0, right? 12, 13, 14.
Good. Yeah, again, might have just been a personal thing by AJ.
Yeah.
But I think that still stands true that, you know, objectively, I think that is the case here. I do not know that Ty Simpson has that kind of background where he necessarily knows how to relate to his teammates as well as someone like an AJ McCarron did coming from Mobile, Alabama.
Well, let's move it forward and compare it to what we've been comparing this whole situation to pretty much for the last 3 months. 2016, Blake Barnett.
Yep.
Blake Barnett, little California man.
Did not get it.
He got that hook fast. He got the hook. I mean, how many drives did he have in that game? Three, four drives?
Was it even that? I thought it was only two.
Right. And from there, it was, I'm leaving the team. Whether you want to say he was leaving the team for other opportunities or because he wasn't plugged in, this, that, or the other. But Jalen Hurts fumbles his first drive, right? And it becomes no big deal. The next time it was a bomb pass, was it Ardarius Stewart or Calvin Ridley, right? Somebody breaks open late down the field and hits him, and boom, the offense is rolling. I think Jalen was a great leader. I think Jalen was a natural leader.
Yeah. Just pure leadership skills, qualities, like the way he is able to.
We're here to talk about 2025. We're not here to talk about a Super Bowl.
He has such a very obvious connection with his teammates that somehow they are able to keep completely hidden from the rest of us, essentially. But like, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm. I'm giving Ty the benefit of the doubt.
I probably will too, but I might just need to see it a little bit, more.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, he's just been, handoff duty in blowouts, and then I guess the USF game, USF game down there. Other than that, it's just been clapping for Jalen Milroe. We haven't really seen it in a public facing way.
I'd like to see Ty. You know, I need first game of the year. I need him to get in somebody's face. You know, maybe throw a shove out there or something. That'll really.
Well, all you got to do is look at his last state championship game. He runs into the end zone, hits the Crimson Crane on him, and goes, yo. So I think I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll do that.
Ty is going to start week one. You know, I think we pretty much have to accept it. I'm still holding out a little hope that, you know, not hope. I don't hope that Ty loses the job, but I'm holding out that maybe one of these other quarterbacks has the opportunity to maybe win this job in the fall. But, you know, I'm probably at like an 80-20 here on Ty being a starter week one. And I've grown to feel okay about it.
All right. So fun times on the Dynasty podcast. We encourage you to check it out if you want great stories from that era, 09, 010, you know, 08, 09, all the way to 12, 13, and then beyond, of course. See, Ty can truck someone Jay Coker style. They'll win the team.
That's exactly what I need. Simpson, I'm buying a jersey that night.
Wyatt Fulton. Ty can truck someone Jay Coker style to win the team and fan base support.
That's what I need to see.
From Wyatt Fulton, make sure you check out Wyatt's show 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
I'm with you. I'm dead with you, Wyatt. I think I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I think that some poor Florida State defender is going to get a truck stick.
Go pick the smallest guy on that defense, right? You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick style, and just go truck him.
Yes, I'm with you. Thank you, Wyatt, for the comment. Appreciate that. Everett Osmer is going to spin us forward, and I appreciate that. He's a serious question. Thoughts on revenue sharing? This was really where I wanted to take the show for right before we got the Alpha Alexander Lincoln. And Greg Byrne was on with Crimson Tide Sports Network yesterday. I believe it was with Roger Hoover and The Drive. I didn't quite see that part, but our friend Will Miller has the comment, has the quote. We have taken the approach, this is Greg Byrne, we have taken the approach that is based off revenue generation. We think that's a solid approach. We think that's the one that makes the most sense for our program. As you've heard me say many times, football is the engine that pulls the train. And at some time, and at the same time, too, our two sports that turn a profit are football and men's basketball. So they will have the highest percentage of that rev share, and then we'll be splitting up the remaining dollars with our sports who are ticketed. So there's four other sports who are ticketed: softball, baseball, gymnastics, and women's basketball. Those are the six sports that will have some type of rev share. I've heard it all over the yard how schools are doing it and how many sports I know that I know one we compete against all the time is doing just three sports. I know that some schools are doing a little bit of everything. I'm not sure how much of a difference that will make at the end of the day when you just carve off a small sliver for a sport, but we have a plan. He continues, I've told our coaches it's fluid. We're doing the best we can to make decisions that we are with the information that we have right now.
Yeah, it seems like that information is still subject to change with the, you know, the current lawsuit from all these other athletes with the Title IX issues being posed with this whole revenue sharing. I'm sure this will, whatever gets decided here, will probably be changing in 6 or 8 months or so. But regardless, we have a bit of an answer.
Bit of an answer, and my favorite part, we have actual numbers from our friend Jacob Pickle. Jacob Pickle, former Crimson Chaos president, and he's been on this show before. You follow him at Pickle07. Took the revenue sharing, took direct proportions. Basically, his tweet based on this data from the 2024 reported revenues by sport and non-allocated, and assuming a direct proportion of revenue share to revenue generated, here's what we get. This is 20.5 million broken down. Football, 15.32 million. Okay, great.
To be expected.
Basketball, 2.31 million. Again, great.
Fantastic.
Baseball, 133,000. Gymnastics, 132,000. Women's basketball, 53,000. And softball, 49,000. There's a couple of dollars and cents in between, sure. But there's the round numbers. I have zero issue with this.
Yeah, I don't think I really have an issue with it. I am intrigued by softball being the lowest funded sport here. I guess it's a bit indicative of their, you know, what they've maybe done the last few years, struggling a bit.
Mm.
You know, maybe that number changes if they can get together and get a deep run in the playoffs or something, get a national title within the next year or two. Who knows? I'm unsure. This money, this $20.5 million, that is not the increased scholarship limit.
Correct.
Those are not going out of this $20.5 million, or are they?
Correct.
Okay.
So you still get a scholarship and get it funded. That's why I don't think Alabama baseball is going to go up to 34 scholarships.
And that's what because this 133, that's not even one basic. Like, what is the scholarship valued at, 200,000 or something
that's
like that?
Katie said pretty recently on our show.
That's not even one extra scholarship.
No.
That's a totally separate pool of money, yes. You know, then we're kind of just not really having that issue here. I still don't think baseball is getting to what, you know, like you said, that 32 or whatever, 34 scholarships, but you know, they'll probably add a few here and there. But yeah, that 133K for baseball seems appropriate given what we have seen from baseball, you know, until they become a more revenue generating sport. I think it's just going to be what it is. I hate it for those sports, but it's just the way of life. You know, I think when this was posed, I don't know however long ago me and you talked about this is the way it should be. Oh, your sport produces this much revenue. Well, that's the portion of the money that you get.
Yes.
It just is what it is.
I think you'll see some adjustments to these numbers that Jacob put out.
Sure.
I'm not quite sure if gymnastics is going to get 132,000. Just going to depend on I think it's going to depend a lot on how many people do you have on your team.
Yeah.
And how can we make this a round number that actually does go into these players and athletes' pockets
and make a difference.
That's somewhat, you know, exactly. Make a difference. With gymnastics, I think you got about a dozen. And so you split a dozen over 132. That's a pretty good number, right?
Good.
Right. 132 divided by 12 a little over
10 grand a piece.
I can't type. Wow, 132 divided by 12. This is why I'm bad at video games. I didn't even do the right math.
49K, I'm not sure how much of a difference that's making for softball's bottom line.
Yeah, but I think that number is probably going to be a little higher.
I mean, and I imagine these pretty much year to year, these numbers will be a little bit, subject to change. I don't think we're going to see in any one year where football goes down to 6 million and basketball overtakes it as the top dog or anything like that. But certainly, I think there's a little bit of leeway year to year with these numbers, I would imagine, where, the money's going to be a bit flexible. Oh, so-and-so needs a little extra. Okay, we can pull from here and put it there and so on and so forth.
What we need to do, Greg Byrne, here's your free idea for the day.
He's listening.
Yes, exactly. So, and we appreciate you a lot. I think you're doing a great job in a very tough environment. Free idea for the day is you make it incentive laden. Now, obviously, you're going to give these sports some money. Definitely. Give women's basketball their 53, give softball their 49, whatever it is your formula is. But you say, okay, Billy sports ball, baseball. You say, okay, Sally sports ball, women's basketball. If you make all conference, boom, your rev share goes up. Boom, this is baseline. This is where we're at. And if you make all conference, then we'll pull it out of the football pot and we'll make it up to the football player because that's what we'll do. We'll pull it out of their pot.
That was what I was going to ask. What happens when everyone makes it? Everyone wins.
Hey, if everyone wins, yay Alabama and NIL right. And the team and the feel good.
Everybody's doing okay. There,
right, right. Because the Alabama fan. A little bit of a front runner.
Just a touch. A little bit. I think there's certainly a portion of the fan base that falls under that part of the umbrella.
Sure. This team's doing good. I'm gonna go support them. This team's not doing good. Blah, fire the coach. I don't care. and so you have the formula that Jacob laid out and you tweak it, however you like. I think Jacob just gives us a rough estimate, and I do think it's probably close enough to work with here.
I think you're definitely seeing football get right around 75% of that.
Oh, yes. And why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But then you say, okay, Billy sports ball, football, you made all conference. Here's just some, we're going to reallocate them. I think that you try to make it as performance based as possible.
I think so too. I think that really takes out hopefully any space for kind of arguing about like, ethically splitting, anything like that. Anybody that takes away the ability for anybody to really get their feathers ruffled here if it's purely performance-based. It kind of is what it is.
That's all I have really on Rev Show. You got any other comments before I move us to into Elite 11?
No, I mean, really, just like I said, the most interesting thing to me is softball being the lowest on the totem pole there. I would have expected them to probably be in that fourth spot right behind baseball.
Well, how much of their revenue, because this is basically a direct proportion of what they made last year. How much of their budget last year was, we're going to Clearwater for a week. We're going to Arizona for a week. We're going to these preseason. And will Patrick Murphy be like, we're saving money. we'll do.
This is a good point.
I wonder, because did women's basketball have a trip to Bahamas? I don't think they did. I don't think they did. But they have in the past.
This is a good point. I didn't really consider that.
Some of this is trips and things. You got to look at the expenses that they had and take it out of, revenue to expenses, that sort of thing. Basic. I am not an economist, but I can handle the basics there. I wonder if, we spent a lot of money on those trips, and great. I think they were good for the program. I think they were good for the competition and preparing the teams.
Moving forward, maybe we can cut a couple of them.
Yeah, I think there will be some adjustments there for sure. So let's move on to one more topic here before we get the Alpha Alexander Lincoln joining us. New Era Wrestling happening July 12th, and I cannot wait for it. Jet Tamala. I want to go back to Jet Tamala. I sent his tape to all my friends who are not Alabama fans. I said, what do you see in this kid? Just to get a non-Alabama fan perspective. And the first fella sent me back, defenses suck. He's playing against terrible defenses. The second guy sent me, he's holding the ball too long. He's holding the ball too long, and he's not making very quick decisions. And I said, okay, guys, good perspective.
Sure.
But I think you need to combine both of your perspectives here. Why is he holding the ball so long? Why is he just waiting? Because the defenses are so poor that he's like, man, Billy's going to run right past him. Let me just buy time. Choom! Buy time. Billy's going to run right past him. And I think you need to combine both of those takes. So I think Elite 11 is an interesting look at where he really is, because I wonder, I mean, the man was dominating Nebraska basketball, at least it looked like in the highlights. Did you see Jet Tamala on his Instagram day before? I followed him. I went ahead and followed him, and he's got a picture of him dunking, and it's got like one of the Bama sites. I cannot remember who it is. I don't want to put bad things on you, but basically said, Bama's new quarterback hoops is a big time hooper. And he goes, I am not a hooper. He's like, I cannot hoop or something like that.
I mean, yeah, you know, his Max Preps page leaves a little to be desired in the hoops department. I think he only averaged like 4 points a game. But dang it, he can throw it down.
And so my point, I think he's just a big fish in a small Nebraska pond.
I agree.
Look, he can't control that.
Sure.
I think this Elite 11 camp is going to be really interesting. And to have him the night one finish, be ranked ninth in the crew, that was Tuesday night, right? Tuesday night's night one. They get there Monday, then Tuesday night's night one, and he gets ranked ninth. And really, night one is kind of a looking at mechanics and looking at just getting the ball out, that sort of thing. Yesterday, finished fourth, was ranked fourth by the On3 Scouts. These are single day performances. So he didn't move up to fourth. It is taken in a vacuum. So it's ninth on one day, it's fourth on the next day. He's going to have day three today, and they'll put out final results and kind of conglomerate them together and say, hey, buddy, you finished. Bleh, whatever. You know, whatever it is. Moving up to fourth, reports, Chad Simmons on On3 Sports reporting he went 18 of 20. Now, this is all against air, but 18 of 20 and 18 of 20 with receivers you don't know, receivers you hadn't thrown to, finishes fourth amongst the scouts. And, you know, I'm mildly excited for Jet Tamala. Yeah. We'll say that. I think there are some things to work on, and you will have to, get you up to speed, man. You're not playing against Nebraska, you know, corn-fed boys who are all slow anymore. Welcome to the SEC. But you see the arm talent. Mm-hmm. You see it in his hand. You see it in his shoulder, pointing the shoulders. You see him, you know. Yeah, maybe he was holding the ball too long in some of these highlights. But why wouldn't you when you know you can?
Does it matter if you hold the ball too long, if you throw a touchdown? I mean, who are we? We're splitting hairs here, you know. I think Jet Tamala certainly has, and you see it. I think he has all the physical tools. He makes the throws. He's got a big arm. He's accurate with his throws. But he's just, the biggest hurdle for him is going to be overcoming that, you know, that thought that he has right now in high school football of like, oh, I can basically just do whatever I want because I know my guy's running down the field with 5-6 yards of separation at least. That will not be there in the SEC very often. You know, you get it a couple times a game, maybe, and you got to make them count when you get them, but it's just not going to be every play. I think that, you know, teaching that out of him will probably be the hardest thing you have to do because, like I said, he does have a lot of the physical tools already.
What's your overall thought on Elite 11? Valuable or not valuable?
I think it's become a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to say.
Say it.
Like, I don't really know what the word I'm even looking for is. Just a, you know, a little bit of a parade, kind of, you know, not that serious. I still think it is important and it's good because it, you know, it, like you said, it pairs you up with receivers that you're not super familiar with, receivers you're not the most comfortable with, and forces you to, you know, play well with them in a you know, controlled situation and like that. But also, it is just against air. Every media conglomerate is out there. Whoa, look at this kid. He's doing it. You know, I have tweet notifications for On3, 2, 4, every. My phone was going off every 40 seconds last night with so-and-so completes a pass at the Elite 11. Oh, this is the best thing you've ever seen from the Elite 11. And it's just like, folks, like, come on, man. They are throwing against air. It's really, you know, I think it gets blown out of proportion a bit. I do think it's important because, you know, it plays you side by side with some of the other top quarterback prospects in the country and allows scouts and things to see you side by side with those guys so they can compare you close up. But also, it's gotten a bit ridiculous, just a touch.
So he's got some video out there. Yeah, bounces back on day two. This is 2 hours ago from Bama Hammer. Let's see. Bounce back in a big way. Putting in, look. I just like the event because it's something to look at in the summer.
Sure.
I'll say
totally
that.
Agree with
I'll
that.
I'll just be right out with that. Do I think it's valuable? Yes, to a degree. I think it's valuable in the sense that
exposure.
Yeah, that you can see where you are. Tamala, you know, what we saw on tape was him just crushing defenses in Nebraska.
I mean, almost every game he played last season was at least a three score game. You know, they were just destroying teams.
Yeah, I think that it gives you a good perspective of, yeah. Oh, here he is against looking at, you know, playing next to Diabelle. Yeah. Playing next to, what is it, London Duckworth. So you're playing against these guys who are considered elite. And I think it helps you split the hairs a little bit. I think it helps you split the hairs on, yeah. Oh, is this guy actually going to be good or is he not? I'm cautiously optimistic about Jet Tamala. And look, you know, if you're Jet, you know who the Keelan Russell is on campus. You know he is. Mm-hmm. So... do you go to a big school like Alabama and say, hey, I know that I've been playing against Nebraska competition for these years and this longer runway at Alabama because, you know, maybe I'd knock off Keelan Russell and become the starter, but more than likely I'm redshirting that first year, and that's Russell's really first year starting, and he's going 2 years and gone. That gives me two, three years to get ready for the speed. I'm cautiously optimistic, yeah. Because of Courtney Morgan and because of really everything we've seen in the scouting department so far through a year and a half.
I think that, and also the ability for them to retain players, you know, not have guys transferring out of the program. Now, I get it's only been a year, and we've only seen the one transfer portal come and go with nobody leaving. But that still is very, very – I think it still says a lot to me. I feel confident in this staff's ability to, if they were – you know, if you are – if that's the route you want to take with a quarterback like a Jet Tamala here, where it's like we're basically preparing now that, okay, he's probably going to sit for 2 or 3 years at least. I feel confident that they can get him to stay there and buy into that. Okay, I'm ready to sit for 2 or 3 years.
Yes, I agree with you there. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this guy. I think that if you are looking to not take the biggest name in the quarterback class this year because of Keelan Russell, and you're looking for a developmental guy, I mean, green box. You checked it all off. He's got the size that you want for the SEC. You see the arm talent. Maybe the competition that he's going against, not the best and not maybe preparing him for the SEC as much, but the raw skills and raw talent appears to be there.
Yeah, certainly. I think he'll do great.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, let's hit one more topic before the Alpha Alexander Lincoln joins us. I just messaged him. He was supposed to hit us at 8:40, so hopefully everything is all good. Our man Hunter DeCiver already has the C.J. Mosley article up, former Alabama linebacker retiring from the NFL. We wanted to make you bring your attention back to that as we led the show. C.J. Mosley, on his birthday, happy birthday, C.J. Mosley, happy 33rd birthday, announces that he is retiring from the SEC. Let's look at, where is it? I know you wrote it, Hunter, right there. Alabama basketball, home and away SEC opponents. And I'm just perturbed because I despise Tennessee. And so you get a home and home with Tennessee. All right. Home games, Arkansas, Auburn, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Texas A&M. You're hitting the road for Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. I mean, none of this is really that surprising. You know who's in the SEC. You're prepared for it. It's just really the home and homes. The home and homes, you were always going to have a home and home with the Auburn Tigers.
Yep.
Duh. You're always going to have a home with them, or the home and home with them. You also are having one with State. I'm pretty sure that one's permanent. Pretty sure that one is permanent. It's supposed to be permanent. But you get your home and home with the Tennessee Vols. I think Andy Hayes, let me make sure I get that right. Is that your...
I'm trying to find this tweet from yesterday where someone was discussing the history there of Alabama and Tennessee over the last few years with basketball.
I've got way too many likes in my tank to go back through it because it's all just news likes and stuff.
It was a lot more of Alabama traveling up to Knoxville than it was Tennessee coming to Tuscaloosa. Well,
we probably saw the same exact tweet.
Yes, it was. You know, I think over the last three or four seasons, but Alabama's gone up there four times right here. And Tennessee's come here twice.
Got it. 2023, this is Andy Hayes, Andy V. Hayes 1. I'm pretty sure former Crimson Chaos president as well. Yeah, Crimson Chaos president after Jacob Pickle. 2023, only at Knoxville. 2024, home and home. 2025, last year, only at Knoxville. And then this year, we're going to go home and home. Can we ever get a year where they just come down here?
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't really understand why that can't seem to happen. I don't want to sit here and play the, well, the SEC's trying to make us lose game, but it seems a bit of strange oversight.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm only saying that because I despise Tennessee. If we're going to have to go up there, at least you get the home and home like this year. Yeah. They come back. Can we just make them the permanent home and homes? Because who else would you rather have? I mean, LSU, no. I don't really care. Arkansas, maybe a little with the Calipari stuff and the old Must stuff. I don't really care about a home and home with Georgia basketball, Florida basketball.
I don't want one with Florida. Not at the rate they're going. I would take Tennessee.
Kentucky
might
be.
Tennessee, Auburn, and Mississippi State.
Yeah, perfect.
That'd be great.
Every year, and then we just know what you have.
Yeah.
Well.
Kentucky would be fine, but it's lost its luster a little bit now that Calipari's not there. It's more fun beating Cal than it is to beat Kentucky to me.
They're going to be good.
Yeah, they probably will be.
They're going to be really good.
Yeah, they've done some. They've been active.
Mohamed Diabate, golly, come on, Mo!
I still can't believe that.
I think they spent so much money in the transfer portal.
Certainly is what it seems like. That's obviously no one really gets confirmation one way or the other, but that's kind of the general consensus that I've seen is that Kentucky has taken it upon themselves to basically write John Calipari a blank check and say, "Go get yourself a team." Mark Pope a blank check and say, "Go get yourself a team."
Well, Mason, I'm about out. We're waiting on the Alpha Alexander Lincoln. I've messaged a couple times, so that is A-okay. If he's got something else going on, it's not a problem. We can pivot a little bit.
You know, he's got some little kids running around. Who knows?
Shoot, yeah, absolutely.
These things jump up all the time, I'm sure.
What happened at the show that you missed is he and – so let me ask you. You saw the picture of Dawson Kimbrell in those graphics.
Yes.
What like?
I would say a little on the sleazier side, maybe.
Sure, maybe.
You know, he's got that greasy kind of hair. I don't know. I guess he looks
that
like
that headshot made him look small.
Small. Okay, sure.
Would you agree? I mean,
I've got his Instagram page pulled up here. And okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The headshot made him look small. And when this guy, he looked like a Super Saiyan.
He's there's some other photos here. He's a pretty big gentleman, looks like.
Yes. The headshot made him look like a small adolescent, per se. Made him look like a teenager. But when he came out there, his hair was cut short. His hair was cut short. He had little spiky hair and muscles on muscles on muscles.
Yeah.
Just cut out of granite. And I thought, oh, that is not what I was expecting. And he and the Alpha Alexander Lincoln put on maybe 15, 20 minutes where it was just meat, slapping meat. And he picks him up. He picks him up and boom, slams him. And I'm sitting there with Tommy Dees and Tom Canterbury, and they're like, oh, it was an impressive slam. We're like, oh, great job. And he looks at it. He goes, I don't know if I can do that again. But they were going at it. And so it was a great match up there, New Era Wrestling, last month. I think it was June. When was it?
It's about 2 weeks ago. June was the weekend of the
6th? Yeah, June 14th. June 7th. June 7th.
Yeah, I think it was because it was my mom's birthday weekend.
June 7th is what it was. And so he ends up winning. Alpha Alexander Lincoln ends up winning a really, really tough match. Really tough match. And what ended up happening after is the masked man comes out and attacks him again. The mask this time with Tiger Mask, the manager,
sure.
And he's throwing down on Alpha Alexander Lincoln, and he pulls it off, and it is the irredeemable Aiden Andrews.
Mm.
Aiden Andrews earlier in the night won Fatal 4-Way for the number one contender position, so he rightfully is the number one contender, and he's attacking Alpha Alexander Lincoln. So I'm anticipating that those two guys are going to square off July 12th in Jasper, Alabama. And if you haven't seen any of the irredeemable Aiden Andrews, he looks like Seth Rollins to me with shorter hair. He's hitting the pedigree. He's hitting the stomp. He's all over the place. Got himself some nice leather pants, just like Seth Rollins might. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to these two guys going at it. I think that, Lincoln was taken to his limit. Lincoln was absolutely taken to his limit, but Aiden Andrews seems like he's going to bring him right back to the limit. I'm looking around on Instagram yesterday, and Aiden Andrews is like doing his pump, and his muscles are way bigger than I am. So really excited for that card. Really excited to see how these stories kind of develop. I want to encourage you guys to check us out July 12th up there in Jasper, Alabama. We're going to be putting on some tickets, some promo codes, hopefully some promo codes again, and maybe making a few announcements. So maybe we can get Mason up there this time as well. Obviously, mom's birthday. Look, happy birthday, Mama Woods.
I got to say, that's not who I anticipated the masked man being. You know, that was not somebody that had not really even crossed my mind. That's quite the shock to me that that's who it wound up being. I'm excited to see how that develops further. You know, I'm gonna still ride with the Lincoln in this, or with the Alpha in this one, but he might have his work cut out for him.
All right, so let's spin it back to one more Alabama topic before we close it down, and I'll check up with Lincoln to make sure that he is A-okay. I've got his links in his DM, so I'm hopeful that did we lose internet connection? Man, I don't know if we did or not. I hope
we'll still be working.
All right, good. I just went to the Facebook side where I had DM'd him the link, and it said your connection has been restored. I hope we didn't lose it. One more Alabama topic as we're live in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios right here off of McFarland Boulevard. You can call Derrick today for all your insurance needs, 205-758-3391. Derrick, his team, Red and Victoria, are upstairs. They would love to talk to you about home, life, and auto insurance. They're not taking the day off because insurance never sleeps. Look, it doesn't matter when you have a problem. They don't care what day it is, when you have a wreck, when you have a leak in your home, something, some kind of problem. Derrick Daniels not taking the day off. Call him at 205-758-3391. Tell him that the Joe Gaither Show sent you, and they'll get you a quote. They'll get you a quote even if you don't tell them that, and they'll give you great information.
I got a little bit of recruiting news.
Hit me.
Well, not really news, but maybe an update. You know, we've talked about Sincere Johnson getting ready to commit today.
OH.
That's what I was leaning towards, and that is continuing to look even stronger now that Ohio State's current edge rusher commit has been predicted to flip to USC. Sincere Johnson, linebacker, kind of edge guy, kind of that tweener play, you know. I think that's just more writing on the wall that they have maybe shifted their focus to getting Sincere Johnson, and he will probably be committing to the Ohio State Buckeyes today at 12:30.
That's okay. All my chips are on Kamari Brooks and Xavier Griffin.
You talked about sending Jet Tamala's highlights to people. I have sent Kamari Brooks's highlight to people. I watched them again yesterday. Every time, like, it's just amazing, his highlight tape.
Okay, so watch it again today and come back and tell us, is it Kamari Brooks being a monster, or is he playing against children like maybe Jet Tamala is?
I don't believe he is playing against children.
I don't either.
He's playing at a very prominent high school in Georgia, which is one of the best states for high school football, and he is dominating at that level. And not just on the defensive end. Like, he is going to play defense at the next level, I'm almost certain. But he is a stud tight end, H-back, kind of that tweener tight. Like, he is just mossing guys.
Tacklers are bouncing off of him. It's like, I'm going to run into him. I'm going to give you all I got. I'm going to take him down. Boom.
There is one clip in there where he catches a ball and he's running down the field, and he's dragging a kid on his leg. And he's kind of stops him for a second, and he's got another kid on his other hip, and then he hits a spin move, and as he spins, a third kid runs in and tries to tackle him, and he spins off, the two kids collide into each other, and off goes Kamari Brooks for like a 65-yard touchdown. It's insane.
He looks like he's made of granite.
Yeah.
On tape.
He is noticeably bigger and stronger than everyone on the field basically every time, you know, every play that you watch from him. You can just see, and it's, you know, we're talking wide angle, 50-yard line, you know, 480p camera up top, and you can still see, like, oh, wow, that kid is, no, he's way bigger and stronger than everyone.
You know how the huddle tapes and these highlight tapes do the little circle before every game?
You don't need it.
No. When I put it on for Carrie, I said, watch this kid. And, like, I don't know if it had the circle on there the first couple, but it was like, she goes, oh.
Yeah, you don't need it. You don't need it. You know, as soon as you just peruse that, you know, that line of scrimmage, you say, oh, there he is right there. The kid that is bigger, stronger, faster than everyone else on the field.
Absolutely. So we'll keep it up. Look, Sincere Johnson, you want to go to Ohio State, make yourself some money. Congratulations. You do that, sir.
It's his hometown school. He's from Cleveland.
Yeah, great program. Can't really hate on that. But hopefully we'll see you in the playoffs sometime.
That's what we like to hear.
Last story for us, it comes from Katie Windham, and we need to just acknowledge it. I don't have a whole deep dive on this, but Alabama pulling in a transfer softball player, Jenna Young from Iowa, former Iowa infielder. Jenna Young announced her commitment to Alabama softball on Wednesday morning. Jenna Young batting the last two seasons, 366, 7 home runs, and 45 RBIs. So, her 2025 average at 359 last year would have been the third best hitter on the team for Alabama. So you're looking for offense. You want Murph to get more dangerous through the lineup. And he goes out and gets Jenna Young. So she's likely to replace maybe Callie Hevlin. Perfect. Yes. Yes, you can. He's going to jump on. Mason, I know you need to probably take off because you and Melissa have some plans today. Let me reply to him back. Yes, you can. No worries. Perfect. But if you have to take off, that's okay. But he's going to join us here in just a minute. The Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. Jenna Young commits, hits her transfer and commits to Alabama. She's probably looking to replace Callie Hevlin somewhere in the middle infield. And look, I'm not up on who else in the transfer portal, but you throw me numbers like this, 359 last year. I think that well done, Coach Murphy.
Yeah, you had a problem. You directly addressed that problem, I think, with the addition of this player. So that's good coaching.
Absolutely. So Alabama getting a transfer portal player in the softball for the softball program yesterday. You can follow that at BamaCentral.com, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. So we're looking forward to seeing what Miss Jenna Young will do. I think the softball, look, everybody wants to be Oklahoma, but
it's very hard to do.
Goodness gracious.
They made it look a lot easier than it actually is.
Absolutely. Mason, why don't you – do you have dates in front of you before you leave for the next few recruits? I know Kamari Brooks left us with June 23rd, and I know you updated that yesterday. You updated that for Bama Central, and you wrote it on the site. I did tweet about that. And he hit like on my tweet. So Kamari, I know you're watching the program. We would love to have you on the program very soon to talk about your recruitment and your commitment. I'm trying to get in touch with Jet Tamala as well. We've got a sort of source that might be helping us out in July to get more recruits on the program. We have had recruits on the program before. We would love to make that a thing in the future. You got any dates in front of you? You want to hit
a few guys here. I'm sure I'm going to miss a few because this is from this picture is from the other day of my list of them that it's been since updated with a few. But just coming down the pipeline for the month of June, I know we got Xavier Crowell and then on June 26th, Xavier Griffin on June 29th, and then in the first week of July, you're looking at Brandon Arrington, Kenny Darby, Booby Feaster. I want to say Jaira Edwards is also going to be in that first week of July and maybe Jet Washington as well.
Sure.
A lot of guys coming in that first week of July. I think that's going to be that will for a lot of, you know, I'm not going to say make or break Alabama's class, but that will be a big deciding factor in where the Tide finishes this year, I think.
Currently sitting, oh goodness, not the page. Currently sitting at, that's 2025. I want 26. Currently sitting at 44 on from 24/7. Higher on three because they use the average.
I think you're like 28 on three or something like that. I might be a little off on there.
All right. Well, looking forward to more recruiting dates with Mason Woods and hopefully going to get some of these guys into the fold in Tuscaloosa. The Elite 11 will conclude, I believe, today, and then we'll find out where Jet Tamala falls.
Number one.
I'm encouraged, though. I'm encouraged after a bounce back day, and maybe that is overreaction to camp, but I think that you've got a lot of tools there.
This is you said it yesterday. This is a Keelan Russell-esque rise from Jet Tamala.
There we go. All the way to number one. All right, let's transition. And Mason, if you do need to take off, it is A-OK. You just let us know. But let's transition to New Era Wrestling. The Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, joining us now. The open weight champion. Oh, my gosh. The open weight champion had a brutal match this past show against Dawson Kimbrell, and we're excited to hear. I believe he went to a local medical facility to get checked out because it was that brutal, then was attacked by a masked man. So we will talk about New Era Wrestling's July 12th show with the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. First, good morning. How we doing? How is the recovery going from that really brutal match?
Doing well, and sorry I'm a little bit behind schedule this morning, but I appreciate you guys having me. No, I'm good. I feel good. I did took a swift drop kick to the throat and affected my ability to speak for a few days, but I'm good as new.
Good as new is good. You got Saturday, July 12th, another challenge coming your way at the Star Spangled Bash in Swan Gym right there in Jasper, Alabama. I'm looking at the graphic right now. The masked man has been revealed. It looks like Aiden Andrews, the irredeemable Aiden Andrews, on the opposite side of the graphic. He was who pulled his mask off. Let's just ask you, did that surprise you that he was the masked assailant?
Yeah, to be honest, I'd never considered that. I don't really know. I mean, I know Aiden. I've seen Aiden. I think he's a really good wrestler. I don't think really anybody knows a lot about him. So I'm kind of, other than he's really strong guy, really talented, likes to chop people a lot, you know, I think you've seen. So I think everybody was surprised, and I think, you know, I'm anxious to kind of learn why. I think I know our fans are probably anxious to learn more about him and who he is and what he does.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a lot of fun on July 12th, this, right after, you know, the week after July 4th, but we're still going to keep the American theme because, look, it's summer. Great. We love that. Star Spangled Bash right there, July 12th, Jasper, Alabama. I'll just ask you, you were preparing for a match. You were preparing for your match with Dawson Kimbrell. Did you see any of the Fatal 4-Way? Aiden Andrews did compete and rightfully won the number one contender spot for your open weight title, defeating a handful of wrestlers right there, defeating a lot of great wrestlers, Brother Atrio, Kate Newton, three other guys. Did you get to see any of it, or have you looked at it on tape to kind of get scouting report?
I didn't get to watch it, but I did see the tape. So I've kind of studied that. You're right. Really good wrestlers. It was Az and Kate Newton's really good. Christian Pierce. They're all really good. So he picked his moment to reveal himself, I think, after he had secured that number one contendership. And I don't know if he wouldn't have got that. I don't know that he would have revealed himself.
No, it would have been he would have continued to attack from the shadows, probably.
Yeah.
So better to reveal himself now. Let's take you back though to June 7th. Your match with June 7th. You're with Dawson Kimbrell. I gotta say, the graphics that I saw leading into the match. Now I had never seen Dawson Kimbrell wrestler. I thought, oh, it's a little guy, long hair, baby face, young looking face. It's a little guy. When he came out, I thought, oh, that's not who I was expecting. Tall, short hair, spiked up, muscles on muscles on muscles. Just walk us through that 20-minute war and just kind of how you were going. You had a moment looking at the title, maybe getting some inspiration there. Just it was not what I was expecting. And so it was a really, really fun surprise for the audience or for myself. And the match was just really, really impressive and brutal. Talk us through your perspective of that match.
Yeah, I see why you could think that about Dawson from his picture. I think that picture is a little dated. He may need to get an updated shot done. But, yeah, he is he's all athlete. He's got size and obviously – I mean, he looks like he was chiseled from a piece of stone or something. So, I knew that. You didn't know that. I knew that. So I was prepared for that. He's super talented. He hadn't been in the ring in a while. I didn't really know what to expect. I felt like he would probably conduct himself appropriately, irregardless. Now what, kind of the way he behaved after the match leaves something to the imagination. He didn't really, I guess there's no rule that says you got to shake hands afterwards. I expected a little bit more from him. I think you get myself, it was a long, hard road to get here in wrestling and to get to this point. And, I don't know if you know this, but, Dawson kicked out of the Lincoln's Law, which is my finishing move. And that's never happened before. And so that was pretty frustrating. That was kind of if I was surprised by anything, it was that. And I'd be lying to you if I said that I didn't consider some alternatives. And I think that was just kind of a lot of emotion and a lot of, you just start rapidly thinking, when things don't go a certain way, like they always have, when you hit that move, you start thinking, all right, what am I going to do to get out of this? How am I going to get, so I thought, should I just get myself DQ'd and just end it here? Should I, and of course, like cooler heads, at least my cooler head prevailed. I know that that's not what we got to do. That's not what our fans paid to see. And I've got to just figure it out. And fortunately, we were able to do that. The way that match ended was, if you ever have seen 1992 SummerSlam in the UK when Bret Hart and the British Bulldog wrestled for the Intercontinental title. That was exactly how the British Bulldog beat Bret Hart that finish. And that was something that I had thought if I could, not just him, but with anybody that tries that sunset flip, if I could catch their legs right there, there's no way they could kick out, Anyways, it was a great night. I wish Dawson would have shook hands, and I wish that guy wouldn't have shook, jumped me from behind. The thing with my throat was unfortunate, but I went to my doctor, went to an ENT, got it sorted out, and did what they said, and I'm good to go. So,
good to go indeed. You're going to have to be good to go on July 12th for the Star Spangled Bash because the irredeemable Aiden Andrews is coming after you. He revealed himself. And look, he comes in there and attacks you, and he's got the mask on, and it looked like a very crimson Alabama-themed mask. At least I got a better look at it this time than I did the last time. A little. But then he takes it off and just attacks you like a coward. He's a better wrestler than that. He doesn't need to be doing those shenanigans. He's got the pedigree in his arsenal. He hit like four stomps in that fatal four-way. What's a guy like Aiden Andrews need to be attacking the champion from behind when he's already become the number one contender?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think obviously all of that started before he was the number one contender.
True.
So, but I say this, I don't know, because no one, he ever talks. No one, he doesn't talk to anybody. And so, obviously, it looks like the dragon has gotten to him in some way. And so I don't know why he chose to do all that. I don't think he has to do all that. You know, sometimes there's people that have to cheat to win. But sometimes there's people that just like to hurt people. And they don't really care about winning. And I'm starting to think that he might be the latter, you know. I think he's dangerous. Not just as a wrestler, but like as a person. I think he's got dangerous capabilities.
Well, speaking of people who need to cheat to win, you can look in our comment section right now. Jasper Reed saying, you're too old to be late, Lincoln. Time is short. Jasper Reed and his man doing a lot of cheating in their past tag team title match. They ultimately won by disqualification because of some provocation. We'll have Jasper Reed on the program next week to explain his really despicable actions in this past show. I'm looking forward to that. So next Thursday, we can see if Jasper Reed comes clean about stealing a kiss, about needing to use when the playmaker to help him. Weren't able to actually win the titles from the Modern Day Kings. We will hear from Jasper Reed next week. You got a loaded card already. You're starting to get it together. I see the graphic you just sent me of you and Aiden Andrews. I'll put that out here later today. Really, tell everybody just a couple quick minutes about New Era Wrestling, how they can find you guys, and Jasper, Alabama, Swan Gym.
Yeah, July 12th, we're back at Swan Gym in Jasper. Star Spangled Bash, you can get us on Eventbrite. Big tickets are available there. You can buy them at the door, but the VIP in the front row and all that, you get done on Eventbrite. We're really excited to be back. We had a great anniversary show. I can tell you that just found out that it is official. You know, Aiden is going to cash in his number one contendership opportunity at that show. So Aiden Andrews and myself will main event July 12th, Star Spangled Bash. So we can hopefully put this to bed once and for all. There was some other news, though. Some bad news. Well, bad if you come to our shows. If you've been coming to our shows, you've noticed, you know that Chloe Canterbury has been our ring announcer, and she's just been excellent. She's done such a good job. She's added so much to the show. She sings the national anthem. Like, she's got it. But we've been hard up for a replacement for July, because I don't know, you know, she performs in other places, in theater and stuff. She had a prior commitment. So, you know, we've been hard up for a ring announcer. Up until lately, we got a special guest ring announcer for July 12th. And so, I'm excited to announce that Mr. Joe Gaither is going to be filling those shoes on July 12th for us. So if you're a little uneasy about wrestling and maybe you hadn't got all the way there yet, but you've been checking out Joe's show, just come and support him at least, and maybe you'll become a fan. So we're excited to have you.
I cannot tell you how excited I am to be doing that. I've been thinking about it a lot since you asked me, and really, really, I am excited about it. I don't want to bump Chloe off, because she is incredible. So as soon as she's re-available, that is her spot. I just want to keep it warm for her, really. But a really big honor to me, for you to ask me to do that. And sure. I'm looking forward to it. I've been joking with some people. I'll sing the national anthem, but it'll be a whole lot lower octave than Chloe. So we'll try to live up to her shoes a little bit. She's done a great job. And I am really, really looking forward to that, to be honest with you.
Well, we're looking forward to having you. It'll be fun. I'm sorry I was a little bit behind this morning. And
training.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on the 12th. I will tell you, you know, I was at Pro South last week in Piedmont, tagged with my brother. So check out Pro South Wrestling on YouTube. Is great. And then I'm going to be in Villarica, Georgia, Saturday at Bullpen Professional Wrestling. Not wrestling yet, just making an appearance. They're bringing me in to do some stuff. And so that's Bull Buchanan. I don't know if you remember Bull Buchanan from WWE Attitude Era days. He tagged with the Big Boss Man and some stuff. So anyways, he's got his own promotion in Georgia. So anyways,
that's great.
yeah, looking forward to that. So I'll be all around, but I appreciate the time and y'all's commitment to New Era and trying to promote us.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a lot of fun for me. I think Mason might echo that. Next week, Mason, we're going to be talking to Jasper Reed, and I just got to say, they had me in my feels. It was a lot of fun to yell at them over this past show because of some of their actions. Couldn't even beat the modern day. He says, "We won. Why the extra words? The extra words are the content. This is a talk show, Jasper, and we talk here about everything that happened." So really looking forward to continuing to promote this show, to find out next week what Jasper Reed's plans will be, DNR, what their plans will be to maybe try to capture those tag team titles or just answer for their crimes. You mentioned your brother, Joe Wood getting after the Playmaker at the last show and really being attacked, costing him a victory, if I remember correctly. Looking forward to hearing what his plans will be for the Star Spangled Bash as well. I'm really excited about this next show. Alpha, we're almost out of time, so I'm just going to leave you the last couple of minutes right here if you want to, talk a little mess to Aiden Andrews. I know that's not your style. You are classy, an upstanding champion. Or if you just want to invite everybody once again to the Star Spangled Bash.
Yeah, get to our show July 12th. It's after July 4th, so you can be back from the beach. I don't think there's anything else major going on in the sports world. Finals will be over, so there's no reason to not give it a try. It's an hour drive from Tuscaloosa, Northport, if you're in this area. But no matter where you are, come try and check it out. We really appreciate it. I tell you, just be careful with Jasper when you get him on. I don't know if you want, he's had reconstructive facial surgery after Saturday. So,
well, he needed it. I mean, you steal a kiss from another man's girl, and the other man, whoops your tail. Ace Haven, yeah. whoops your tail. I mean, I think that beating was warranted. I hope the surgery went well, and we'll find out next week.
Yeah, just have him zoom in or something. Don't bring him in the studio. You don't want him to know where you live, where you work, where your place is, any of that stuff.
We'll keep it off the grid. We're in parts unknown, Alabama. Jasper Reed will join us next week, and we'll continue to get us ready for the Star Spangled Bash with the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln. Openweight champion is taking on the irredeemable Aiden Andrews on July 12th. Alpha, thank you so much for your time, and we're really looking forward to getting ready for this next show.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That's the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, joining us. And look, if you are on the fence a little bit, I was telling a friend, you can just come and heckle me. I will be doing the announcing. It'll be try to do a little Bruce Buffer impersonation, a little Howard Finkel impersonation. But if you want to just come heckle me, if you don't like the show and you think I'm a Looney Tune, you can come heckle me. That's been maybe my favorite part of being at these shows. I yelled at you remember Damian Saratone, big bad, yes. Big mean guy. I yelled at him. He was wrestling Stone Phillips this past week, and so I was making all kinds of rock jokes. You're gonna get hit like a rock. You're gonna get hit. Oh, he's gonna run you over. You remember the commercial, like a rock. And he goes, like a rock. He looked right at me. Like a rock. Yeah. And he goes, you smoke rock. And I was like, oh,
pretty good. Pretty
good. Oh, you got me. So that's been like the most fun part is the interchange between the wrestlers to me. And look, the wrestling's been a really, really high quality. We took Will Miller to the show this past week, and he goes, he's leaving with me. And he goes, man, I was really impressed by the wrestlers and quality. I know July 12th is going to be a big wrestling weekend. You've got AEW running All In. You've got WWE running Saturday Night's Main Event. But you can save money. Look. Saturday Night's Main Event is a house show. Just record it. It's not, nothing's going to happen. Goldberg is going to lose. Gunther, it's going to be a 2.5 minute match, right? And then All In is going to cost you, what, $60, $90 to watch it on your couch because it's a pay-per-view. Come to Jasper, Alabama. Much more affordable tickets. You can sit basically ringside. You can be right there in the action. And so if you like wrestling, record All In, record Saturday Night's Main Event, be at our local show and support these guys and really get your wrestling fix on at the Star Spangled Bash. I'm looking forward to it. I hope that you will join me there. I'll guest ring announcing. I will sing the national anthem. So if you want to hear maybe my less than stellar. Oh, look, I'm a Gaither. The Gaither Singers, we can sing as well. I'm not related to Bill Gaither, but we can sing as well. We'll have the national anthem, and we'll try to hype you up for each and every match at New Era Wrestling, the Star Spangled Bash. I'm looking forward to talking to Jasper Reed next week. We're going to have Will Miller join us tomorrow to talk baseball, to talk football offseason, to talk everything in the Alabama sports world right here on the Joe Gaither Show. We appreciate everybody who's commented at Joe Gaither 6, commented on the Facebook machine. Hit us on the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We will talk to you tomorrow right here on Bama Central at BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.